I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. It's been mayhem and violence in Cairo today. Security forces swarmed in to clear two massive protest camps filled with supporters of the ousted president, Mohamed Morsi. Egyptian authorities say at least 149 people were killed, but the numbers could be much higher. The military-backed interim government has declared a month-long state of emergency. We start our coverage today with the New York Times' David Kirkpatrick in Cairo. David, tell us what you've seen today, please.
Well, I've seen a lot of blood. We visited several of the makeshift field hospitals set up by Islamists around the main sit-in in Rabaa, and we saw a really high velocity of casualties, the dead and wounded, many with bullet wounds to the head and the chest, moving in and out of these dozens per score, moving in and out of these hospitals. So I suspect the death toll is going to be much higher. It's really a very dramatic crackdown, a day-long assault on largely unarmed civilians. It's a level of violence that might have snuffed out the original January 2001 revolution if the security forces had felt empowered enough to unleash it at that time.
How are people in Cairo reacting to what happened today? It's so violent compared to what we've seen over the past 2 years.
I think the full reaction will unfold over a number of days or weeks. There's been outbreaks of violence around the city, Islamists marching from mosques around Cairo to try to support their besieged colleagues as much as they could. Some fighting, including gunfights with police as they try to make their way. The streets, by the end of the day, were completely deserted, almost spookily deserted. You mentioned the state of emergency, also a 7 o'clock curfew. It should be noted that Mohamed El-Baradei, the vice president of the interim government, a Nobel Prize-winning former diplomat, has resigned in protest. That's significant because he had lent his international prestige to convincing the West that this military-appointed interim government was actually intending to restart Egyptian democracy. That looks less and less likely. This begins to feel more and more like the sort of full force revival of the old police state.
Have you spoken with anybody who has said that this violence today has pushed them, perhaps bystanders who were ambivalent about the Morsi ouster, to push them to say, no, this is unacceptable?
You know, I talked to a couple of people, three people, who happened to come up to me to say, hey, I didn't vote for Morsi. I'm not an Islamist, and I am here because we can't have an elected president ousted by a military coup. But I have to say that I believe those are few and far between right now. We have not seen a major outcry by non-Islamists about the plight of the Muslim Brotherhood and other Morsi supporters. What we have seen is a lot of Islamists saying, look, this is going to drive many of us to violence. You know, in the 1990s here, there was a lot of terrorism directed at the military-backed Mubarak autocracy. Egypt had seemed to move beyond that. But a lot of Islamists feel like they played by the rules, they won democratic elections, and those victories have now been stolen from them. And we saw quite a bit of a kind of out-of-control violence and even sectarian violence today, attacks on Christians and churches around the country. At least two churches in the rural southern part of the country were burned, maybe more. I'm still sorting through the reports. So we're heading towards a period of very indeterminate turmoil. This is not over tomorrow. It's not over tonight. It's not over tomorrow. And I'm not sure when it's over.
Quickly, what is the Muslim Brotherhood saying right now?
The last I heard, they were urging Egyptians across the country to rally in the name of democracy and against the military coup. You know, I think it'll take them a little while to react to the severity of this crackdown.
The New York Times' David Kirkpatrick in Cairo. We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your time.